Amen. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This life, what did Jesus say? "I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." And John also says that this life lighteth every man. This eternal life lights our spirits. We're not the same anymore. Amen. Our spirits have been lit by the power of God, by the love of God. So now we can love the world. We can love the unlovely. We can love those that are not perfect, that are in darkness. We can love them. And that's always the question. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, I can't do that." Well, if you're born again, if you're saved, you've passed from out of darkness into the light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and we can do it. We can love. It just, what it means is, what does it say in Romans 12? It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What's his perfect will? That we walk in love. That's John 13. We're going to get there in a minute. But John 13 says this new commandment, that we're to walk in love as he loved us. And that when we do, this world is going to know that we're his disciples. And so by proving, that means that we're going to be able to actually operate, prove it, do it. Right? And so sometimes we all at some point or another, could be every day, could be less, as we begin to operate, we operate less in selfishness. We operate less in fear, because perfect love casts out fear, or perfected love. So the more we operate in the love of God, the less fear we have, the less fear of what people think, the less fear of loving people, right? So we all are growing in this. What does that mean? The more we feed on the Word of God, the more we operate and do it, love becomes perfected in us. And so, John 13, let's turn there and look at this again. John 13, 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this love, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." So when he says that we're to love even as he loved, it means in the same manner, in the same way, or even as. And you might say, "Boy, that's a pretty tall task." But Jesus wouldn't have said that if it wasn't possible. So the nature is in us, but sometimes our flesh overrides that. And we're all there. Say amen. Yes. You get hungry and you get itchy. And we're all in some point, this flesh wants its way, right? And don't say, you know, you're so holy that you don't want your way. Because we all do. I don't know whatever it is, at some point we hit that I've had enough button. Every one of us do. Now, some of us, our personalities or whatever, sometimes we go a little longer than others, right? Just because of our makeup. But God's nature, his makeup is in us. So that means charity suffereth long and is kind. And so it just means that we can go a long way with folks. And it just means that we have to work at it. And we have to ask God to help us in that area, right? When we miss it, we need to fix it and step up. Don't get in a ditch over it, right? But one of the things I've been looking at, I love this booklet or three-ring binder, that spiral binder or spiral notebook that has from Mark Hankins' ministry that has all the various translations. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. Let me read some of these other translations. I tell you, it's insightful. Normally, when we read it in the King James, it's we don't use words like this anymore. In a lot of cases, but let me read this. Pull out some of these from different translations. This is the Hayford. Jack Hayford has a translation, but it says, "Love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Love is kind and active in doing good. Love does not envy, since it is non-possessive and non-competitive. It actually wants others to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love has a self-effacing quality. It is not ostentatious. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence. Rather, it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It is not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile." Listen to this one. It says, "but is graceful under pressure." Ooh. Yeah, that right there. Make it take note. "Love thinks no evil. It does not keep an account of wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentments." It erases them. "Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction in the shortcomings of others and spreading an evil report. Rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Love bears all things, defending and holding other people up. Love believes the best of others, credits them with good intentions, and is not suspicious. Love hopes all things, never giving up on people, but affirming their future. Love endures all things, persevering and remaining loyal to the end." This is the Phillips translation. It says, "This love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive." And this is the Williams. It says, "It never gets provoked. It never harbors evil thoughts." Isn't that interesting? You know, sometimes people harbor things. This is the Laubach translation. It says, "It does not get angry at little things. It does not nurse hurt feelings." You ever nurse hurt feelings? Yeah, this will get you when you start going through some of these translations. That's why I like paraphrases. They say it sometimes in ways that we live. Right, you get provoked. You nurse something that somebody said. It's insightful. Well, let's turn over to John. We're going to get somewhere today, so we're just going to do a little review. I like reviewing because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when faith comes, when we see something, then we need to do something. But John 14, I like this. Let's take a look at verses 21, 22, and 23. But I like, this is the King James Version that I'm going to read from. It says in verse 21, "He that hath my commandments," and we just got done reading what it was, "and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will what? Manifest myself to them." Some of the other translations are, they make it a little clearer. The Message says, "And I will love him and make myself plain to him." The Amplified, it says, "I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him." So God, so he's saying the Lord will make himself real to us. He'll manifest himself. Listen to the Passion Translation. It says, "Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return, and will manifest my life within you." Not just he will manifest himself, he will manifest his life within you. What is that life? Love. So as you love him, he will begin to love through you. See, that's why when some people say, "Well, I can't love," well, you're not obeying his command. He said, if you obey his commandments, he will love you, and he will begin to manifest his life within you. That's the love of God. And this other scripture, I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. I'm going to continue. This is verse 22. It says, "Then one of his disciples named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, 'Lord, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone?' Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word." Loving me empowers you to obey my word. "And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place." So it's about loving him and loving his word and obeying it. And when you do, he says, that's what Jesus said, "Loving me empowers you to obey my word." Say amen.
Amen.
I like the Message translation. "If anyone loves me, he will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him and will move right into the neighborhood." He's going to take up residence. He'll move in. He'll take up residence in you. He will make himself real to you. He will manifest himself. He will empower you to love the word, love him, love the word. So this love, as we obey him, he will empower you to love others. But you're going to have to take a step of faith in doing that. And as you do, love is what? Perfected in you. It's developed in you. You don't seem, you're quieter, you're asleep today. I'm just kidding. But this excites me. Turn over to the book of Ephesians. And this is what I wanted to look at today, Ephesians chapter 3. And you know, after you've gotten born again, it says we've all received a measure of what? Faith. We've all received a measure of faith. And faith, when it talks about, and we can go over there if I'm led, but we can, you're reminded in Mark 4, what does it talk about? It says the sower sows the seed, or he sows the word. It's the seed. And then in Matthew, it talks about this seed is like this seed like a mustard seed. When planted in the ground is least, but it groweth up into this great tree, right? So it talks about faith like a seed or a small mustard seed. But this is what I wanted to look at today. I look at Ephesians chapter 3 and this familiar passage from 14 through 21. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by what? His Spirit in the inner man." The Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, love strengthens us. And so what else does he say in verse 17? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you what? Be rooted and what? Grounded in what? Faith. Oh. Rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
It doesn't say rooted and grounded in faith. It says rooted and grounded in love. Now faith, what does it say? It says faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest is love. We're to be rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Listen to this. This is, I'm going to read a few translations here to give this some weight. But New Living Translation, it says, "When I think of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him." We're talking about he'll make his home through faith. But listen to this. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And it goes on, it says here, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. But listen to this. This is the Laubach translation. This is this book. You can get it in the bookstore. Ephesians 3:17. It says, I pray that the roots of your faith, the roots of your faith, what is that? Faith is like a seed. But the roots of your faith may grow deep in the ground of his love. Boy, that puts a whole nother perspective on things. Rooted and grounded in love. And it says that the roots of your faith may grow deep in the ground of his love. This is the Living Bible. It says, and I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Faith works by love. No love. That's why when you go over, let's just take a side journey. Is that all right? Let's just take a little side journey over here for a moment. Let's go over to Mark 4. Maybe this will help a little bit when you look at it. Mark chapter 4. The sower sows the word. See, remember, what does he say? That the roots of your faith would grow deep within the soil. The soil, say soil, the soil of God's love. What does it say here? And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise which are sown on what? Stony ground. No soil. Who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have what? No root, no root, no root. The roots of your faith growing down deep into the soil of God's love. And no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises. For the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh what? Unfruitful. Remember the word says you can't serve God, you can't love God and mammon. So the seed has got to have the soil of God's love to work and operate. Faith worketh by love. You all seeing this? Because it excited me. I'm telling you, excites me. And these are they which are sown on what? Good ground, good soil. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. This is God's word translation, same Ephesians 3:17. Then Christ will live in you through faith. I also pray that love, listen to this, I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. Boy, that right there got me off on a rabbit trail last night. It was hard to go to sleep. It was hard to go to bed because it got me off thinking about all these other scriptures when I read this. I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Let me read it again. Then Christ will live in you through faith. I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots. Roots of what? Faith. The seed of the word gets rooted. Sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. Now, let's just hold steady and think about this for a moment. Go over to Luke chapter 6. I know it's in Matthew, but I want to look at Luke chapter 6. This is familiar, and we could quote it, but I just want you to look at it this morning. Luke chapter 6, and look at verse 47. Says here, whosoever, this is what got me, I'll tell you, this is so exciting. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. That was what we're talking about, hearing his commandments and doing them. He said, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and did what? He digged. That you're What have we got done reading? We just said that you dig down into the soil of God's love. You dig down with the roots of your faith. You dig down and did what? Laid a foundation on a rock. Who was our rock? That's what its scripture says. That's Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. He's the rock of my salvation. He is my rock. So we dig down and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon love. It was founded upon a rock. It was founded on love. And so that's why when you start looking at this and you can see when there was no substance, when there was no soil, the roots had nowhere to hold on to. Hope you're seeing this. So we can see here that this foundation that we talk about, it's the foundation of the love of God. And that, yes, faith cometh, but it cometh by love. And that's the exciting thing, that we know that if faith is growing, so is love. Because it has to. Let's look at Ephesians 3:19. We're continuing here. I'm going to go back and look at this. And it says here, this is the King James, and it says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen to the Good News Translation. It says, yes, may you come to know his love, although it can never be fully known, and so be completely filled with the very nature of God. What is that? That's his love. Some say presence, but this particular translation says his nature. The Phillips translation, or J.B. Phillips, it says, and to know for yourselves that love so far beyond our comprehension, may you be filled through all your being with God himself. That's love. Amen. Being filled with his glory, being filled with his love, which it goes back in the previous verses, being strengthened with might in your inner man. That's the love of God. Let's take a look. We're in Ephesians 3. Let me just jump over there. And as you continue, that's why I say the writers put chapters and verses in here, but look, as you read down through those passages, you get to verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all what? Lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, what? Forbearing one another in what? In love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he goes on. He says, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are all called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So you can see here that this love is the soil, the ground on which our faith is planted in. The seed of the word. What changed you? The very nature of God has come into your heart, has changed you. Love has taken up residence. Where is the seed of the word planted? When I read and feed on this word, what is it planted in? It's planted in the soil of his nature. It's planted in my heart where God is. That's the very presence of God, his glory. That's where it's planted. The soil of God's love. And so, also, it talks about in Colossians 3, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye, and above all these things do what? Put on love or charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So as what I wanted to point out today was that this seed of the Word of God is planted in the soil of God's love. Have any of you ever saw that? Have you ever seen that? I tell you, for me, it was, the more I've read it, it just began to open my understanding and thinking. Yes, we focus on faith, but the ground on which this faith rests, this foundation, is the love of God. And so, we can see the importance of that and that without the love of God operating in us, that's why when we go back and you look at 1 Corinthians 13, and you look at this and verse 1, and he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not what? Charity. I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have what? All faith. So that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. So here's the thing. When we, whatever we do, that's why God is looking at the heart. He's looking at our motives. Are we doing it in love for Him, His people, and His things? That's why when it says here, you can have all faith to move all mountains, and if you don't have love, it's worthless. And so that's why I've shared, and I just feel this strongly in my heart, that He doesn't care how much you give. You could give a little, or you could give a lot. But when you do it out of love for Him and at His direction, it means a lot. It means a lot to Him. So it's not the size of the gift. It's what is He directing you to do? What is he motivating you to do? You know, I've heard Brother Hagin say this, and even his dad said it, and his son has said it so often. I've heard the dad say it so many times before he went home to be with the Lord. If God tells you to do something, then do it. If He doesn't, then whatever you purpose in your heart to do, you choose. But it's out of love for God and His kingdom and His people. And it's the same thing. He doesn't care what kind of music you sing. He don't care what you dress up in, as long as you're modest. We place value on these things. We make a big deal out of some of these things. But God's looking at what? The heart. He's looking at the heart. So that's why it's so important that when we do things, let's check our heart. That's why when it says that before we receive communion, examine yourself. That's why when Elder Bill got up and said, hey, this is an exciting time, because we're releasing our faith when we give. We should be releasing our faith when we worship. We're not just kind of sing a song. No, I'm releasing my faith. I'm worshiping You, God. Right? So He's looking at our hearts. And so, just as I said, you know, we examine ourselves that we be not unworthy. That, you know, we can look at that. Yes, examining yourself, what does the scripture say? Faith says that which is not of faith is sin. We place sin on all these other things, but no faith, lack of faith, is sin. So when we just take and drop money in the bucket with no faith, it was like, nada. Right? So the things that we do, this is what the scripture says. Let's just sum this up, that when we do things, we want to do it in faith. But Ephesians 3:17, I pray that the roots of your faith may grow deep in the ground of His love. In the Living Bible, it says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. So this faith that I have is rooted and grounded in what? In love. And that's why when it talks about those that hear my word and do it, he likened it to a man that digged down deep and laid his foundation upon a rock. So that when life's issues, that's why when it talks about here, so you can see scripture interpreting scripture, it says being rooted and grounded in love. Why? So when the storms of life come, we're not blown over. Because we're rooted and grounded in the love of God. So that when trials and tribulations and tests come, we're rooted and grounded in his love. He is my rock and my fortress. Amen? Praise God. I hope you got a little insight into that today. I hope it helps, because it helped me. And it's going to take some work. We all know that. And in the times that we live in, it says love is patient and kind. And we're going to have love with what? Imperfect people. That imperfect person may be sitting next to you. Most times that's what it'd be. Right? Well, we're imperfect. So you can look and wave at the person next to you and say, I got some work to do. I got some work to do. Right? I didn't say you were a sinner. I just said that we're imperfect. And we're being perfected as we do what? Hear his word and obey it. We're becoming perfected. We're missing it less and less. We're operating in the love of God. And it's going to come. I hope all of us are still reading. I know it's past March, the first 90 days, reading 1 Corinthians 13, whatever translation you read it in. I hope you're reading it, because it'll help you. Yeah, it shows you stuff. Amen. That's right. That's exactly what it does. Because the more you read it and the more you start reading other translations, you go, okay, I still got some work to do. We all do. It's a lifetime process of operating in the love of God. And Brother Hagin, as much as he taught faith, even his son said, you know, you all know him about teaching faith, but he was one that taught on love just as much. And when he came here, I think the last two meetings he came here, he talked on the love of God. That's what he shared. And so he highlighted that, because we're to be what? Rooted and grounded in love. Amen. So don't give up, cheer up, and get rooted and grounded in the love of God. Amen? Amen? Praise God, praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for it. We thank you that we're looking to you to help us walk in the love of God in a greater measure. And we thank you, Father. Forgive us when we miss it. Let us become and let us operate as you operated. You said that we believe the love. And so, Father, we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen.